Coaches, Adam here. We're excited to announce that we have partnered with our friends over at Glacier and Huddle to bring you a special event at the early part of 2024 called our Leadership Summit. Now, what exactly is a Leadership Summit and how does it all work? Let me explain. We've selected, together with Glacier, 10 cities that we will be visiting in the early part of 2024 during the months of January, February, and March, hosting three-hour leadership summits available and open to all coaches of all sports. All you have to do is visit glacierclinics.com and RSVP, just simply so we know you're coming. Find the city that works best for you. Tell all your fellow coaches, tell all those in the school, and make a plan to be out at one of the 10 cities. These leadership summits are going to be transformational. We will spend 3 hours unpacking and unleashing a framework that you can use to elevate your players into the leaders needed to win, and unleashing the secret to creating that transformational culture that we all want. Some new content mixed in with some core foundational teachings of Lead 'Em Up. It's going to be a morning that will change everything for you in 2024. Check out glacierclinics.com. View the list of the 10 cities. Find the one that works best for you. Tell your friends, and we will see you there. Let's go. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam alongside Kyle. And Kyle, today we are jumping into how much is enough? How much is enough? Specifically, when do you know you've done enough leadership development? I mean, and this is a very, it's an interesting topic because it's relatively subjective. It's very nuanced. It's difficult to truly put your hands around when do you know enough is enough? And, you know, it's a conversation that has to be had because, frankly, there are far too many coaches that think they are doing enough, but they're not doing enough. And that creates challenges. If you think you're doing enough, but you're not doing enough, then what's the gap? The gap is a lack of growth. The gap is a lack of transformation. And it's a problem because you think you're doing enough. And in your mind, you've justified and you believe you've checked off the box, but the players aren't experiencing the change. They're not experiencing the transformation. They're not experiencing the growth. So it's not enough, but you think you're doing enough. And when you think you're doing enough, even though you may not be doing enough, you won't feel prompted to do more because you already feel like you're doing enough. I know I just went on a major little riddle tongue twister there, but yeah. I hope that makes sense, right? Like, you know, and I tell you, this got challenged to me when I was out in California recently for the Glacier Huddle Leadership Summit. You know, I had a coach come up to me after. He said, "Adam, I'm not going to lie, man, you really challenged me." And I said, "Okay, well, cool. What part or what specifically? How did I challenge you? Where was it?" Just that I'm not doing enough. That I felt and have felt for the longest time that I was doing it. I was doing leadership development. I was growing my players as people and leaders. But after being challenged in this regard and being pushed with some of the things, which I'll share in a little bit, to like identify, to measure if enough is enough, I realized I'm falling short and I haven't increased it at all because I always thought I was doing enough. But now that you've communicated it the way you did, I'm like wide-eyed, convicted internally that like, wow, I'm actually not doing enough. And my kids are the ones suffering as a result. They aren't experiencing the growth they could. Our program isn't experiencing the growth that it could. And man, I feel convicted. I feel challenged. And that's why, you know, today's episode, How much is enough? I think we need to have this conversation about what does it look like when, or how do you know you've gotten to the point where, you know, you can look around and say, no, oh, we're doing it. And it's reaching and it's engaging and it's creating change. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
It's such a fascinating conversation too, because even I got, you know, we're going to go down a lot of different paths here and share some things. But one of the things too is with this topic, I don't think we ever get to the point where we say we've crossed the finish line. But where are we to, like you mentioned early in your opening remarks, Adam, I think the point where we want to be is, where are we when we know that the players are getting it and that it's working and that they're living it out? That's where we want to be at. But coaches, this is certainly not something to where there's a finish line that we cross and we say that we're done, because it's a constant evolution. We constantly have new players coming through the program, new people stepping into new roles. So this is an ongoing thing. But what we want to see is that this is actively present in their minds, and it's something that we see in their behavior on and off the field.
Here's a great way, and you kind of teed it up there. You're never across the finish line. I love that you said that. I liken it to like implementing a game plan before a big game, like the practice and the implementation. As a coach, and we all can relate to this, you do get to a point where you kind of just, you say like, I feel good with what we've done. I feel good with what we've done, the work we've put in. Now it's time just to see how it goes, right? Like, you can only do so much in prep, okay? You can only prepare so much. You can only teach so much. I'm sure every coach in the country in advance of a big game always probably has a little bit of that itch inside that they always feel like they could do more, that it, because it never ends, right? Like, until you actually play the game and see if you won or lost, you never truly know. But you get to the point where you can walk away with relative confidence and say, I've done everything I can do. Right. And I've seen the clues from the team. I've seen the indicators that I feel like they've got it. I feel like we're good. Let's go play the game.
You've shared this before, right? And you shared this before, but it's like the stage director in theater. And it's the same thing like John Wooden would talk about. Like, people would question him in his career of, why aren't you up and down the sideline? Why aren't you more animated? Why aren't you coaching during the game? And his response was, I did that during the week. I did that during practice. And like, when you're watching a theater production and you don't see the stage manager, you don't see the director out there when the performance is happening. So what we want to do is make sure that we're equipped for those moments, right? The game plan is in place, that they're prepared to handle the situations as they come up, not reacting to them in the moment. So that's kind of like a way that challenged me early in my coaching career, was thinking along those lines of like, you have this idea in your head that, you know, the best coaches are animated. They're up and down the sideline. They're constantly talking to the players, adjustments. You know, that's all part of it. But when you get to that point where you can sit back and have the confidence that they know what to do in certain situations, and you trust that they're going to react the way that you want them to react, that's how you know you've done your job at a really high level.
So there's a couple of different ways that we're going to kind of roll this out to kind of indicate that you know what, you've done it. And the first is, and I've shared this before in the episode, but let's go a little deeper on this, is what I reference as active thought versus afterthoughts. Very, very key. Active thoughts versus afterthoughts. Now, when we break down those two different teachings there, active thoughts are thoughts that live front of mind that actively drive behavior. Thoughts that live front of mind that actively drive behavior. On the flip side, you've got afterthoughts. They are thoughts that live in your mind but are engaged after the behavior. So if you think about just in our teaching of green, gray, red, you know, an afterthought would be, I go and I do something red. And then I think about after, oh yeah, I probably should have done something different. Where an active thought is, green is such a driving thought, front of mind, that they go into the situation and act green because it's driving and guiding their behavior. So active thought versus afterthought. And this is one of the key things to help us know, is enough enough. Do you see the teachings that you are communicating? Do you see the language that you are introducing? Do you begin to see it actively showing up on a regular basis? Do you see the terms, the behaviors being demonstrated regularly? And if so, that is a sign that is living as an active thought. Active thoughts only become active thoughts when they are firmly instilled in one's mind. And you've heard us talk about this if you spend time around Lead Them Up, instilled, to firmly establish in one's mind. Just think about the visual there. Firmly establish. I mean, they essentially have a stronghold mentally on you. They are resonating. They are living. Think about established. Someone who's been around. They are a prominent, established authority, right? These thoughts are established firmly in our mind, and they are actively living at the front, driving our behavior. If we don't have players that are kind of exhibiting and showing the byproducts of these thoughts being firmly established, active front of mind, then you probably haven't done enough. The thought then is in their mind, but it's back of mind. It's living as an afterthought. And in many cases, yes, you've taught it, but they haven't fully learned it. All they've done is heard it. It's why a lot of times at the beginning of my repeat teams, would Lead Them Up, if they're back for year two, or maybe I'm with the team in the winter, and then, you know, I'm also with the same team or a different team at the same school where a lot of the players are returning in the spring, I'll play a little joke. I always have Starbucks gift cards in my pocket or in my bag, just because I always use them as giveaways and stuff. But I'll say, hey, you know, listen, I don't want to jump into today's teaching of the green team and waste anyone's time here. You know, I was with many of you all in the winter. And frankly, if you already know it, you don't need to sit in this again. So I'll make a deal with them. If any one of them can tell me the seven rules of the green team, I will give them a Starbucks gift card and they are free to go. They don't need to sit in there. And what you always see time and time again is they can't do it. They can't do it. And it's a reminder to me, I haven't done enough. I haven't done enough. I mean, think about it. There's seven rules of the green team. If they don't know it, how can I justify and say I've done enough? I mean, frankly, how can I do that? I can't. Right. I haven't done enough. Now, one would argue, but they know all about the green team. Yes, afterthought, back of mind, not firmly instilled, not firmly established, not actively driving their behavior. They have heard it, haven't fully learned it. I'm still in the process of teaching it. Haven't done enough.
The process, absolutely.
Active thought versus afterthought. Examine. There is not a single play that coaches run as a primary core component of their offense that they are willing to let sit in the afterthought place. Think about that.
Exactly. I'm so glad you brought that up. That's one of the things that I'll share with players a lot as well, is how often you start the season and you're taking infield. You know, we're getting ready to start baseball season here soon. Do you just do that the first week of the season, only take infield once and call it good? You know, like the repetition, it's an ongoing process. It has to be something that's the focus point.
Hey, this is Ashley from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Today, we're talking about intentions. An intention, by definition, is an aim or plan. Intentions are much less rigid, and all they require is effort, not perfection. Here are a few steps and tips to get you jump-started with intentions. Number one, determine your purpose and goal. What do you want to reach towards being and becoming a better you? 2, begin incorporating smaller habits. Smaller habits help us not feel quite as overwhelmed to make big changes, which can be really hard to do. Crowding out is a way of putting more focus on the good choices and things you want and not having as much time, need, or want for the less effective habits as a result. 3, stay focused. Try using a habit tracker or some sort of other tracker that can help visually stimulate a sense of pride in your strides. And 4, learn from others and ask for help. Identify people around you who are doing things you aspire to and ask for advice. You have the power to change your behavior and incorporate things into your life that will help you reach whatever goal you are trying to accomplish. You get to pick your attitude and your actions. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
So when you build on the active thought versus afterthought, it reminds me, and I think I've shared this, or maybe some of you have listened to the episode when we had Kayla Smith on, owner operator of a local Chick-fil-A, get a chance to do some work with her and her location. And Chick-fil-A has 6 values they operate under, kind of performance values that they've had for many years, very similar to what we call and lead them up, our green standards, but they've got theirs. And remember Kayla sharing how every day, and if in case you're wondering why 6, because they're only open 6 days a week, right? Makes sense, right? They wanted one for every day. And they will rotate those performance traits and values throughout the week. And each day during the week, they will pick one and go all in on, like, during their pre-shift meetings, all in on celebrating throughout the shift, discussing post shift. I mean, it becomes the theme of that day, and they do it week after week after week after week after week. And I'll never forget asking, like, doesn't that become repetitive and redundant and monotonous? Right. Like, I mean, even I am, like, sensitive sometimes of, like, teaching the green team again, because I'm like, oh man, I'm teaching it again. And that story, the story of Chick-fil-A that I'm sharing here, it changed my entire approach. Because when I got asked the question, like, isn't it repetitive and monotonous and all that? There was a human reality of, like, yes, yes, it is. Like, but then there was a inspiring response that really shut me up, frankly. And it was simply, and everybody wants to know what makes us different. And everybody wants to know what makes us different. When I say different in the sense of, like, why are Chick-fil-A's, why do they have 2 drive-thrus when many other fast foods only have 1? Oh, because there's just so many more people. And why are their lines always so much longer than everyone else's? Right? Like, and why do their people and staff say things that others don't? My pleasure, things like that. Like, there's all these levels to it, and you're like, why do they do it and others? Oh, yeah. It's because the things that they value have been instilled in them. It's because they live as an active thought. They actively drive the behavior of the people. You see, I don't know this for a fact, but I would say, you know, there's probably a chance that these other fast food groups, they probably have performance values, things they want to stand for and how they want to show up. I guarantee it. Here's what I would envision the difference being. My guess is they do have them, but they just share them at trainings, as a new hire training.
Yeah.
Maybe annually at a performance review. You know, these sporadic moments that maybe, hey, you know, day one on the job, they say, hey, these are your values. End of year, remember, let's talk about your performance today. Remember what we stand for, right? And then they go through them again. And are you living into those? And, like, they haven't heard it in 3 months, or, like, they've heard it, but it's been, like, sprinkled in, like, so occasionally you don't even taste the sprinkling in of the seasoning there in your leadership. Just doesn't, yeah, it's enough.
Not intentional enough.
It's not enough. It's not enough. We ask the question, how much is enough? Is it active thought versus afterthought? That's the first thing you need to wrestle with. What are you thinking, Kyle?
Yeah, it can't be something that is left to chance. And that's a lot of the things that will happen sometimes is when it's left to be an afterthought, that it's left to chance. And then we get to the point after the season and we're like, well, just didn't have the leaders this year. Our kids just didn't step up this year. Well, why? Why not? Was it something that was just talked about at the beginning? And, you know, it's funny. You see signs everywhere. Sometimes you drive by places and, you know, it'll say like leadership lives here, but there's no plan in place and they won't do anything. Or, you know, and like we value this in the company, like you said, it's maybe something that's mentioned at initial onboarding, but then the rest of the year, they don't hear about it. They don't see it. They don't experience it. So that's the thing is like when you leave it to chance and it's going to end up, you shared this recently, and I've been sharing it in the last couple of trainings. It's like, you know, when we talk about the green team, and I kind of relate it to where, like, when I go to the beach, sometimes I'll just go out and lay in the water because I like to just float. It's easy. And I'll say to them, like, if I just go and I leave from this point in the water and I just go float and I'm there for 10 minutes, when I get out of the water, am I walking up to the same point of the beach as when I walked into it? Like, no, of course not. Well, why? What's going to happen? Well, the tide, the current's going to take you. And that's the thing that happens is when you don't have it as an act of thought and it becomes an afterthought, you leave it to chance. And when it's left to chance, all the other things are going to push that person down to maybe where they didn't want to be, the culture where you didn't want it to be. And then at the end of the year, we're like, geez, coach, why did this happen this year? Why didn't we win these close games? Why wasn't our character very good? Why wasn't our leadership very good? We just didn't have the leaders this year. Next year's group, they're good kids. They'll be better. Not unless you have a plan in place. Not unless something intentional.
The line you're referring to, Kyle, is if you simply go with the flow of the day, the currents will sway you to gray.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
You simply go with the flow of the day. The current will sway you to gray. I mean, in gray, you could say, you know, it's just like, it's not intentional enough. So it's kind of, it's not living as that active thought there, you know, and you and your Florida references, ugh, gosh, you know, like if you just get off work and you go out to the beach and you're on a beautiful white sandy beach every day, what happens when everyone else around the country is like, we don't.
Bro. I'm just trying to use the amount. You just can't go with the flow and end up where you want to be, right?
Our friends in Ohio, Indiana, they haven't seen a white sand beach in a long time. So, all right, here's the second thing. Are they verbalizing and articulating it to others? All right, so the first is like, are you seeing it demonstrated as an active thought? Can you feel that, sense that? Secondly, are they verbalizing and articulating it to others? You know, when you look at the learning pyramid, the knowledge retention rates, the highest two levels, the bottom or top, however you want to look at that, that's always tricky on pyramids because the top of the pyramid is actually the smallest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just so, depends on what you're measuring.
What you're measuring. So the top of the pyramid, which then in turn is the lesser of the learning, the weaker of the learning. They reference those as just passive teaching and learning models. But when you get down to the wider side of the base where it's stronger, they reference them as participatory interactive teaching model or methods. And when you get down to the base, the final two are doing and teaching. So doing is at the 75 percentile mark. Teaching is at the 90th percentile. Here's what essentially they're saying is as you begin to teach and they begin to learn, you will see these evolutions in their comprehension, in their exhibiting of the knowledge learned. Now, this is also showing the pyramid can be viewed in two different ways. One of just how to teach, right? So like the worst part is just lecturing. The highest way to teach is to actually have the student do the teaching, but it also, once again, can be transferred over into the applications of learning. 75% is by doing. Are the individuals actually doing the things you're teaching? Are you actually seeing that happen? Are you seeing behavior change? If you're teaching, once again, we can only speak through the lens of the lead them up curriculum, because that's where we are. You know, but if you are you seeing nine claps being demonstrated? Are you seeing gold mines being collected? Are you seeing balances of sugar and salt being exhibited? Are you seeing moments where people are mentally managing their mixing boards? Are you seeing moments where the players are lifeguarding one another and referencing their six? Are they doing the things that you're teaching? And if they are doing the things that you're teaching, you are on the right track. You are moving closer to wrestling with this reality. I'm doing enough. I'm doing it, right? But then it goes to this next level of being able to teach others. And this is where it advances. You can almost say they are now stepping into not just being great demonstrators of the behavior, but now they're being great teachers of the behavior. They're now mentoring and teaching. And this is really the character and leadership equation. So we say the green team, if you break it into four words, is be green, build green. We are a character and leadership program. Be green speaks to character. Build green speaks to leadership. The doing portion is the character demonstrated that I'm going to do the right thing. I am green, and you will see that through my behaviors. But then the second part, the highest level, is when they begin to lead, mentor, and actually teach others about the ways of which you've been teaching. And it is at that moment, right, when that happens, that you can truly sit back and say, I'm doing it and I'm doing enough. Because how do I know I'm doing enough? Because I'm seeing the individuals engage in behaviors in ways that it is reflection of their character. They're doing the right things. They are doing the things we're teaching them. And then I'm also walking away with confidence that I'm doing enough is because I'm seeing them teach. Here's a great way to see them teach. Are they utilizing some of the language in teachable moments? Are there moments right. where a player just pours out salt amongst another teammate that is just completely inappropriate and over the top? Is someone jumping in and kind of coaching them on sugar delivery? Right? Is there moments where someone tries to coach up another teammate and the other person doesn't thank the passer? And now all of a sudden this player jumps in and says, hey, you better thank the passer. You better thank the passer. We're not trying to ruin our own leadership here. We're not trying to take a life away, discourage our guy. All right. Are they teaching to new transfers into the program about the green team? Because maybe the player is like, hey, what's that on your helmet? Hey, what's that poster all about? Remove red, sway gray, build green. What's that about? And all of a sudden you're seeing players like bringing other players into the fold and teaching them. When you begin to see the doing, i.e. the character on full display, and then the teaching actively happening, you can walk away with greater confidence and say, I am doing enough. I feel good. I feel that I've taken us to the point where, you know what, it's now time to play the game.
Right. And a challenging thought there as well for coaches is always to remember with our athletes that more is caught than taught. So are we utilizing the language with the athletes? Do they see us living out those principles with other players? Do they see us living it out amongst ourselves on the coaching staff? Because when we're doing it as well, when we're at that 75% and 90% as the coach, then we are that much more likely for the athlete to do it. So I think that that's the important part as well, is modeling that, living that out, letting them see that, because they'll know it's that much more important to you and to the program because everyone is doing it. This is how we all operate, not just players, but like the coaches aren't just saying, this is what I want you to do. They're saying that because they're doing it as well. And I think that is what can be something that allows the kids to go from that 75 to that 90%.
Here's three quick identifiers that could give you a glimpse that you're not doing enough as a coach. Three quick little identifiers. The majority of your leadership development is all done reactionary. That's the first thing. It's all done reactionary. There was a moment in the game. Now I react to that. And now I go into a little bit of a leadership lecture of sorts. Or we begin to work on something a day after that incident happening. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not saying you can't react to things. We do that all the time. But if that is like the driving force of your leadership, there's probably not an intentionality, because you're most likely just reacting, and it's just not intentional enough. Okay. You say train for the trials you're not yet in. Man, it'd been even better if you'd worked on that prior. So if a majority of your leadership work tends to be reactionary, caution. Here's the second. Is the majority of your leadership development just simply broken down to sound bites, pre-practice, post-practice, pre-games, post-game? Just little quick, you know, we need leadership to step up. You know, we need leaders to step up. These little sound bites, pre-game, post-game, pre-practice, yeah, post-practice. You know, you get the team huddled around, everyone's on the knee, and you're just talking for a minute. And in that moment, you're just kind of speaking on the need for leadership. And, you know, we're trying to do the right thing here, and we need players that are exhibiting the right character. If it really does kind of come down to these little soundbite teaching sessions, listen, that's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough. Not at all. It's not nearly intentional enough. It's not nearly enough time. You, especially post, actually pre and post, you probably don't have the audience's true attention, especially pre-practice, especially pre-game, or post-practice, post-game, right? There's too many emotions going on. It's not a fertile learning environment in those moments to be able to truly get it and process and consciously discuss and all those things. So if it's a lot of soundbite type coaching, teaching, not happening. Here's the other one, failed quizzes. If I randomly jumped in to your team and quiz them on some of the leadership and character teachings that you've been demonstrating, would they be able to pass the quiz? Would they be able to pass the quiz? Would I be able to kind of go to them and say, hey, I heard 2 weeks ago y'all talked about this. Hey, so tell me about this part of it. Hey, tell me about this part of it. Hey, what'd you learn in that part of it? Hey, can you recall this part of it? Hey, tell me the lesson that he was trying to communicate at that part of it. And if you just get a bunch of vague, clearly not knowing, they're just simply making it up as they go. They don't fully know, and they are essentially failing the quiz. Yeah, you're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. You know, part of the reason for me, I always spend time in review 5 or so minutes prior to jumping in to the teaching. Every time we do a session, I allow those 5 to 10 minutes to demonstrate to me if I've done enough. It is my way to gauge, because if I've done enough, I need to know that so I can then build on top of. Right. We've got the foundation laid. We know I can start building on top of. But if in that moment I'm shown that I haven't done enough, like I need to know that too, because our foundation isn't strong enough. We need to keep going deeper. And I can't get to the next thing. And I need to make sure they know we need to go deeper. So I do that all the time. And I'll do quick 5-10 minute reviews of some of the things we've taught. And you can sense in the room, Kyle, if they know it.
Yeah.
You can sense it. Notes down, everyone, notes down. Hey, listen, before we jump into today's teaching, we're going to do a quick review. All right, last time we were together, lifeguarding. Remember, we talked about lifeguarding. Lifeguards do certain things with their heads. What do? Right? And I'm looking. See how quick the answer scan comes up. They scan, coach. What does that mean? Man, they're looking. They're constantly evaluating, examining, scanning their team. Awesome. Appreciate that. Hey, fantastic. Let me get someone else. Hey, what are they looking for though? All of a sudden, a hand goes up quick. Warning signs, coaches. Warning signs. Yeah. What's a warning sign? Anything that could be an indicator that the players are slipping down the green team scale, that something could be off, something could be wrong. Ooh, I like that. Awesome. Hey, let me ask everyone else. Who's doing the lifeguarding in this room? Bam, hand goes up. All of us, coach. Why not just have our seniors? Why not just have our captains? Because there's too many of us, not enough of them. Oh, I like that. Yes, nailed it. Right. Everyone's on duty. Hey, guys, what's a ZRS? Anyone remember? Oh yeah, zero rescue season. Oh yeah, what does that mean? Man, can we be so alert, so engaged, so in tune with those around us that we proactively prevent anyone from getting in the red? Awesome. We're moving on to the next subject. They got it.
Mm. Yeah, that's the great quizzes. I love that you put that in there. And it's so easy to do instead of just having like the sound bites. Those quizzes with interaction to really gauge it is key. And we have that built in for you. You don't have to do the work on that. We have that. All of this to make the job easier for you to get to that point where you can say, this is enough. Because there's a lot of work involved. There is. But it doesn't have to be you on your own. Mm-hmm. And all of those things that you just shared there, Adam, when you go through those three major things, is it reactionary? Is it just soundbite? Is it just failed quizzes? That's typically where most people fall into. Most programs are falling into that place of like reacting afterwards, then dealing with it, talking in sound bites at before or after practice, or just maybe occasionally once a week. And then not being ready to respond in that moment, or not clearly knowing what it is that you want to see or how we need to live that out. So there's a solution out there. We can help you with that.
You know, and then it's up to the kids to play the game. And I say a game in air quotes, because the game of life, really, you know, you can only do so much. And you take them through, and I mean, they are now still responsible for living and doing their thing. And you hope that they've taken what you've taught. But frankly, you should be able to sit back it with some confidence and say, I know from my role, I did enough. Mm-hmm. I did enough. And yes, that player may have engaged in that behavior. And you know what? They did that in spite of it. They did that in spite of it. Same with the game plan on and Friday night or game time. Hey, we had it. We just didn't execute it. But we had it. We did enough in prep. We just didn't execute it the way we needed to. Anyways, listen, enough. How do you know you're doing enough? Hopefully this was helpful as you just tried to evaluate your particular team and program to make sure that you're not missing this, that you truly are checking off the box to completion, not just activity. But to actual completion. Hope this episode was helpful for you. As always, I'm Adam. He is Kyle. On behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, coaches, have fun and lead 'em up.